Hello and welcome to the Feverbee podcast. My name is Katie Kobe and I'm head of training here at Feverbee Limited. I train community managers in the art of community building using proven social science techniques. In the Feverbee podcast, I'll share tools and techniques that you can use in your daily community management efforts. Listen weekly to get new tips, industry news, and hear stories from guest practitioners to help you become the best community manager in the business. Make sure you subscribe for free updates and review our show notes to get all of the resources mentioned in the podcast today. Show notes are published weekly at communitygeek.com/podcast. Today, I'm excited to share that I am joined by Matt Doris, who is the leader of Etsy's International Community Programs team, driving initiatives focused on developing Etsy's people-powered marketplace all around the world. Matt joined Etsy in early 2013 after spending several years at Facebook, where he founded the European customer marketing team and then focused on creative solutions for major brand partners. Previous to Facebook, Matt was an early Googler, spent over 7 years at the company, and when he was there, he established and ran a number of sales and operation teams across offices and markets, including Ireland, the United Kingdom, and India. In his spare time, Matt can be found fine-tuning his Etsy vintage store and watching movies obsessively. So Matt, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so happy to have you here.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I'm a huge Etsy fan, by the way. I find
some
of the best jewelry. I pretty much buy a lot of my jewelry through Etsy. So love the service. You guys do amazing stuff. And I'm looking forward to hear a little bit more about you and about your role. So how about we start there? What does the head of international community programs mean for Etsy? And what are the sort of things that you're focused on each day?
Sure, absolutely. So I suppose for anybody who isn't 100% familiar with what Etsy is, and it's definitely, we have a huge amount of awareness in the US, but in some other markets, there may be the odd person out there who hasn't heard of it. So just to cover that, Etsy is the global marketplace for independent creative businesses. And it's really the place that you go to if you're looking to buy a product with a story that has been handmade and or authored by an independent maker. I'll talk in a moment about the fact that really Etsy fundamentally at its heart is, aside from being a platform, is primarily a community, and which is what makes my job so interesting. But to talk a bit about international community programs and my team, we were founded really when Etsy as a company or as an organization started to think about growing outside of the US. We were originally founded in Brooklyn in 2005, and after a few years, as the company started to think about where to go next in terms of other markets and establishing a presence in places like Europe and the UK, Australia, Canada, and around the world. So a lot of the original growth that we saw in the US back when the company was founded, when the platform was first launched, was based on great word of mouth amongst the maker community. So creative people, makers, happened upon our platform and were delighted with the service that it offered. One of the main reasons for that at the time was that first of all, we have extremely preferable business model for sellers in that we take a very low percentage of a cut in terms of their sales, but also it provided access to a community of other like-minded people that they could work together with on business opportunities or just provide each other with moral support. So what that meant was that they were then going out and talking to their peers and other creative folks about Etsy, and the word was spreading that way. And then as people were growing their own business about Etsy, they were also bringing on board buyers who would then just discover other sellers. And so this kind of natural, organic, word-of-mouth-driven growth kind of just came about really beautifully and naturally in those early days. So as we started to think about international growth, we wanted to have growth that was aligned with our cultures and aligned with where Etsy had come from. We founded the International Community Programs team as a means for us to build community from the ground up in these new markets that we were coming to, so whether it's the UK or another European market or elsewhere. So thinking about how can we engage existing creative communities in those markets. So an example in the UK might be the UK Craft Council or a craft support organization called Craft Central, or a collective of artists or a guild that's focused on a particular craft or creative skill. How can we engage with them and provide them with support and become a kind of a valuable part of their community? And then also, as we were seeing communities forming on Etsy within those markets, how could we further jumpstart that activity and really help to nurture the connections that were naturally forming amongst our sellers? So what that means is, so day-to-day that involves things like running community-focused events, connecting our community to internal teams at Etsy, like our engineering team, so that we can get direct feedback on the localization of the product in the market, and so on. And then focusing on partnership initiatives with those external communities that I referenced earlier on.
That's amazing. I'm just taking furious notes here. So I love that you're really approaching the aspect of community from this core local level. I spoke with Blaise Grimes-Vior a couple weeks ago, who is VP of Social Media Services for eModeration. And we talked a lot about the concept of like global community management and how, when organizations go into new markets, what they need to do to really properly localize. And so the fact that you were going in and really reaching out to these local guilds and, small independent organizations just to help support them, I could imagine must be just a very interesting and rewarding experience. Did you ever experience any, backlash from any of the markets that you went into? Like people are like, oh no, we don't want your help. We don't want you to be here.
That is a good question. We haven't experienced any backlash, but I think there's definitely different markets will differ in terms of the response that we will get. So for example, in Italy, we found that even before Etsy had proactively started to engage with the market in Italy, we were still seeing sellers connecting with one another via the platform. We were seeing them organizing real-world meetups and supporting each other in terms of, forming syndicates so that they could get preferable rates in terms of shipping. We were seeing them kind of just supporting each other in terms of marketing and cross-marketing their products and so on. So just a huge amount of activity that was happening naturally, which I think is really, really reflective in many ways of the culture there. And it is a country where people kind of are very, very connected to each other. There's a very strong sense of family and friendship and so on. And so this concept of community around the platform around these small businesses was something that fit really well. In other markets, we didn't necessarily see the same, we didn't see that happening organically or naturally as much as, say, Italy is an example. However, when we have gone out and actually met up with pre-existing organizations and shared with them really kind of the value that Etsy has to offer. So, I think on a very, on a very kind of tangible business focus level, Etsy is, it offers 40 million buyers to any potential seller as a potential market. So sometimes it involves more so it's going in and talking about kind of if you are a craft council, if you are a support organization for artists and makers, there is a practical and legitimate reason why Etsy is a great way for them to build their businesses online. Gotcha. So you start the conversation from there, but then there's connections and that stronger sense of community starts to grow afterwards.
Gotcha. That makes a ton of sense. Thank you for that, for giving a little bit more detail there. So when I was doing some research about Etsy and the community and like going on the site and looking at it a little bit more closely than, when I'm just shopping, I came across Etsy teams, which from what I understand are sort of like the sub communities within the broader Etsy community. So I'm curious to know a bit more about like this team structure, like how does it work? Do you have members, like are they encouraged to found their own teams? Like what does that look like?
Sure. So yeah, teams really, I mean, from our perspective, teams just exemplify the community and the cooperation that's at the heart of Etsy as an organization. So by collaborating with regional neighbors and other small business owners, teams combine forces to accomplish really kind of incredible achievements. And I can talk about some of those in a while. But yes, as you say, teams are really kind of the social unit almost of the Etsy community. And this is the way that most of our sellers will connect to one another. You could think of Etsy teams as an online social network that sits on top of the Etsy platform. We have thousands of individual teams around the world, and hundreds of thousands of sellers who are connected to those teams. And they really can connect, they really can form a team. Anyone, any Etsy seller who wants to can join a team or can start their own team. And they can form their team around any subject matter. So it could be that that you want to form a team that's based on sellers who are all living in your location. So let's say, for example, in the UK, our Brighton team is one of our largest and most active teams. But it could also be that you want to form a team around operating in the same category or complementary category. So maybe you maybe you crochet products, or maybe you sell products that are related to weddings, and you want to find other sellers around the world who perhaps sell complementary products so that you can work together on course marketing. Maybe you're interested in learning about marketing skills and trading those particular skills with other sellers from around the world. And sometimes it's just completely social. I mean, you know, one of the most impactful meetings that I've ever had at Etsy was in my first week, when I traveled around a couple of our markets and met with sellers in their own studios. And one of the sellers that I met with, she had sitting kind of beside where she was working, where she was a jewelry maker. She was sitting beside her workbench. She had a kind of large computer screen, which was connected to Skype. And on the other end of the Skype conversation was another seller who was based in a different country, who she had met via Etsy Teams, and they had kind of formed this bond because I guess when you are a micro business, when you're a small creative business that's possibly just kind of a one-man show, you spend a lot of time at home working on your own, and you have very specific challenges, but also very specific successes. But you don't necessarily have a coworker or a colleague to share those moments with. And so what Teams actually provides, in many cases, is just an outlet, a social outlet for sellers who are faced with a somewhat solitary profession. So in this case, this woman had made multiple great friends around the world via Etsy Teams. And as I say, she had kind of created this almost kind of virtual co-working space, so that she could, from time to time, turn around and chat to her friend and colleague.
That's so incredible. I mean, I work from home virtually all by myself, and I jokingly say, like, my dog walker is my new best friend because I see her every single day. But that, and I know there are co-working spaces, but sometimes, I've got my own setup, and it's just, and I could imagine if you're making jewelry, it's not like you could go pop down to the next coffee shop and work on a pair of earrings or whatever. And so that's just such a really cool way to use like the technology. I bet you could even have like the group video chats and just have, someone there to talk to, which is so important. I mean, that's the one part that I found that with working virtually working from home is that I miss is that people-to-people interaction. And so that's a really – I could totally see – my mind would have been blown just walking in to see that. So that's really, really such a cool story. So with these teams then, are the team members – like, so you mentioned the Brighton team, for instance, is pretty active. Like, do they do, offline meetups and they connect as well? Or is it all primarily online? Or do they all just operate however they want to?
They can, they have complete freedom to operate however they want to use the team any way that they choose. And that being said, some of our most active teams, particularly outside of the US, are what we would call local teams. So teams that have really been established and developed around a particular location, so a city or a town or a part of the countryside. And yes, they do tend to, meet on, possibly a monthly basis. In person, which again kind of provides that kind of social outlet and that kind of that feeling of support and having a kind of a professional network, but also kind of a friend network of similar folks who are based in your area. And then that can also lead to kind of other opportunities. So many of our sellers will organize attendance at craft fairs together, or indeed organize their own craft fairs together in the real world. Many of them sometimes with our support, sometimes without. Will organize pop-ups where the teams will work together as a collective and will sell each other's wares in the real world. You mentioned the Brighton team, which is I was going to say one of my favorites, but I love all of our teams. But one of the it's certainly one of the teams that I've spent quite a bit of time with this year. And the captain of the Brighton team is a lady called Cardi Dendy, and she has done an amazing job of actually kind of putting together a program of events and activities for the group. So in addition to those types of business focused activities that I mentioned, in addition to those social activities, and they also have a kind of a curriculum of education where they will get guest speakers in to come and talk to them about either kind of other inspiring businesses or skills that they may be interested in learning, like, for example, social media or, excuse me, kind of paid online advertising, SEO, et cetera, et cetera. So, and then, of course, you know, just kind of informally, they can share tips with each other on how best to ship to a particular market or, you know, kind of how best to engage in customer service and so on. So there's a lot that they can actually learn from and just truly from one another and through connecting.
But I'm just completely, like, I'm loving all of this. I wish you could, like, see my face on the other side of the line. It just makes me so happy to see people support this way. Well, and you hear a lot about, like, how communities provide so much support, you know, when people are doing things like, you know, like weight loss and you know, if someone has to, like, quit smoking or, like, is getting through some other sort of, like, a life challenge. But really from the business aspect, the fact that you see these sellers coming together and no one seems to be approaching it from the way that it's like, oh, you're my competition, but rather, you know, they're organizing craft fairs together. They basically realize that by supporting each other, they as a whole all become much more successful. I just think that's such an incredible story and such an incredible theme.
Yeah. And I mean, there really is strength in numbers. And as you say, what is really heartwarming is that you don't see, very much kind of a nasty competitive edge.
Yeah.
They tend to really believe, you know, they tend to have really grasped, I guess, the concept of kind of a rising tide will raise all boats. And so for them, the focus is around raising awareness of the maker community in their local area and bringing, you know, just basically kind of growing the market all together so that they can all benefit. And that's something that we see universally across all of our teams in all of our markets.
Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about this team captains program. We always here at Feverbee encourage identifying and rewarding community leaders, but I sort of get the sense that Etsy takes it to a new level with these different summits that you have. So can you share a little bit about, like, the summits and a little bit more about your team captains program in general, like what it means and what you guys do for them?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is something that I'm particularly proud of and I've really enjoyed from last year. We, as you say, you know, first of all, you know, we were fortunate enough to have this amazing existing community and this amazing kind of network of teams on Etsy. And within those teams, of course, you have the team captains who aren't necessarily, I should say, the team founders. So often a team will have, you know, will be founded by somebody who may invest a lot of time into it as the founder and captain at the beginning of the team's life cycle, but then they may become more busy with family or with their businesses and may need to take a step back. But we generally find that then there's kind of a nice natural flow where other potential captains from within the team tend to step up. So yes, the captains really do for us are these amazing kind of leaders that have naturally kind of bubbled up from within the community and who really are the driving forces of all of that team activity. I know I shared the example of Carly earlier on and how she really has kind of, like, mobilized and galvanized the creative community of Brighton around their team activity. And we see the same thing in cities all over the UK, cities all over France and Germany, Italy, really most of our European markets. Mm-hmm. So we decided at the beginning of last year that, you know, why not, that we're seeing so much amazing connection between the sellers within those teams. And the captains have really kind of identified themselves as kind of leaders or ambassadors for those teams. So why not bring those ambassadors together from all over Europe so that they can learn from and be inspired from each other, and also just as a way for us to kind of thank them and for the great work that they do. So the first event that we had Last year was in Berlin in March, and we had sellers from almost all European markets, or captains, I should say, from almost all European markets come together. So it's kind of like this amazing kind of EU or UN of Etsy, where we had, you know, where you found that you had the captain of the Athens team sharing tips and advice with the captain of the Vilnius team, and so on and so forth. So we brought them together. We had a kind of an agenda set over 2 days in Berlin, which was focused on highlighting case studies in terms of some of the really amazing things that these teams had done around Europe in the previous year. So whether it was around kind of organizing a conference or lobbying the government around the cost of shipping, or just as I said earlier on, Carney's curriculum of activities, or organizing a pop-up. You know, there were multiple examples of just really great work that we wanted to highlight. So each of them had an opportunity to speak and to talk about what they've done, and then there were Q&As afterwards. We also brought in some external experts. We asked the captains in advance, you know, what particular skills they would be interested in improving so that they could get even more out of their team. So they asked for advice on just kind of organizational and time management skills. So we brought in an expert to talk about that with them. One of our, the head of our community engineering team from the US came and joined, and he ran an amazing brainstorming and feedback session where they were able to share what they get out of the product, but also what of the Etsy platform, but also what they, you know, where they see issues and where they see needs. And so he was able to kind of get that feedback directly from the horse's mouth and then bring it back with him and have it feed into his product roadmap. So which, you know, really creates an amazing feedback loop for the sellers, which they find incredibly satisfying. And then we also just had a great time. We had a lovely dinner on the second night and a party. And what's been really amazing to see is that, you know, the connections that formed on that over that weekend have, if anything, kind of strengthened over the course of the year. They all set up, you know, their own and then kind of like individual captains team. Where they share, you know, if one captain is facing an issue with, let's say, motivation on the team or kind of really kind of around mobilizing team members, she'll come and share that problem in the team, and then the other captains will be able to kind of give her first-hand advice on how she should work around that problem. So this has really kind of created this kind of international network of captains, which is just so inspiring. And they really are some of the most amazing people I've met. So we decided after that was so successful that we decided to then start to do it on a more of a national level as well. Mm-hmm. So we ran then subsequently similar events that were just focused on captains that were based in the UK, another one that was just focused on our French captains, and then a third that was focused on our German captains. So they were all equally successful, and we'll be doing the same thing this year. And hopefully with an even larger European event that we'll be running in September of 2016. So we're very excited about that.
Oh my gosh, can I come? It sounds like the most fun thing ever.
Please do.
That's fabulous. I have so many questions that I want to ask you. And actually, this brings up a good point since you'll be speaking at Sprint. So we'll have to hang out and get coffee. And for everyone who's listening, get your tickets to Sprint because I feel like Matt is going to be sharing some really, really, really amazing insights related to his work here. But I have a couple more questions, I guess. I have you'd mentioned that there's like the summits become this really great feedback loop for the sellers, that your engineering teams, people come over and they listen and they hear the feedback and then they can better incorporate it. So my question was really, what do you do with the feedback? But it sounds like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that really like seller feedback is taken really, really seriously by the product and engineering teams, and that it's something that is continuously, you know, incorporated into the product. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that is absolutely the case. Our you know, our CEO, Chad Dickerson, is an engineer by profession, but he is definitely somebody who really kind of he could wax lyrical about the benefits of community, and so he kind of ensures that those connections are maintained between you know, the folks that are building our products and the folks that are using it. So as I said, if I use the Captain Summit as an example, we've had an engineering presence at every single one of our summits. But in addition to just kind of taking on that feedback on the day, each of the engineers that have attended have then also joined those captains' teams, afterwards, so that those conversations continue ongoing. So captains use it as an opportunity. They'll just ping one of the engineers in the team or in their group if they have a concern. Obviously, not everything is addressed immediately. That's not the way. Unfortunately, that's not the way product management can always work. But it definitely really informs our roadmap and the decisions that we make.
Gotcha. Well, and it also just sort of seems that your company subscribes by the same concept of that the rising tide raises all boats. Like, one of my last questions here is a little cynical, but it was like, what about the financial returns, right? Because that's the questions that a lot of companies are always asking. But it really seems that it's ingrained into the core heart of who Etsy is as a company, that by ensuring that your sellers are successful and like working with them to develop a platform that allows them to be more successful, that ultimately ensures Etsy's success as well. Do you agree?
Absolutely. That's you really hit the nail on the head. For us, it's funny actually, because it's not a cynical question. Obviously, businesses do have to make money.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
It's a question that I do get. It's a question that I do often get when I'm speaking at events and so on. But it's a funny one because really, for us, Etsy is a community. That is what Etsy is. Although it is a marketplace, although it is a platform. Ultimately, if you ask anyone who works at Etsy, what is it? It's a community of people who are either making and selling beautiful handcrafted products, or it's people who are interested in buying them and learning the stories of the folks that they bought from. So ultimately, it really is about human connection. So the more that we can actually drive those connections, the more that we can encourage them, the more our business will thrive.
I think that's like the absolute most perfect statement to leave the conversation on. That really all that community is and all that Etsy is, it's about the human connections. And when you can make those connections, you'll thrive because everyone else is invested in it. I can imagine that all of these sellers and captains around the world, Etsy supports their lifestyles and their livelihoods. So they put everything that they can into making it thrive. And it just sort of is like a, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, round the world sort of situation, which is really, I would say it's kind of rare, even though, a lot of companies like to say it's not. I do think that general approach to it and that just that holistic approach that your community is at the heart of everything that you're doing is still pretty rare out there. So so great to hear and learn more about what you guys have done.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're getting right up close towards the end of our time together. I want to remind everyone that, again, you will be speaking at Sprint. So grab your tickets and come on down and make sure to listen. I'm so excited about the lineup that we've got there. If y'all like the episode, make sure to visit communitygeek.com/podcast to review the show notes. I'll be putting up a recap of my conversation with Matt and include some links to Etsy and that sort of thing. Also, feel free to leave us a review on iTunes. We haven't gotten any reviews yet, and so I would love to just try and get a few more reviews for the show. Thank you all so much for listening. Matt, thank you so much for your time and joining us today. I really look forward to meeting you. Yeah, I look forward to meeting you in London, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.